And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. As always, we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, how's it going?
Good. I didn't turn Zoom on.
That is good.
It's weird.
I know.
We're both on the GoPro. Same shot here.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
The sex appeal of this show is immediately back.
I know. I tried it this morning, and I was like, let's give this GoPro a shot. You know, we haven't tried it. I knew you both were going to be in studio. And then I looked at Robbie. I was like, Robbie, the GoPro is working.
It's a big deal.
Did we just jinx it? It's about to explode, isn't it?
Remember when it fell? That was funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good for the viewers. So if you're...
Not as good as when Rex Road fell, but we didn't get that one on
tape. Definitely not as good as that.
Still sad that that was never caught on tape.
Me too.
It's really heartbreaking. So if you're someone who watches the show, enjoy.
Yeah.
Both in the same shot.
By the way, streaming live
on Twitch. That's a two-shot.
It is a two-shot. By the way, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Big night of sports last night, especially in the Rex Road House. You had hockey going on. You had NCAA tournament going on. I heard you on pregame with Darren McFarland last night. Big night for Rex Road last night.
Yeah, a lot of late night, too. And let's see. Preds, not so good.
Not going well.
Not so good. Gotta get out of the West, I guess. That's it for them going out there, right? Yeah. So that's good. But, yeah, not great.
They've been outscored 12-2 in their last two games. That is that's not going to quite get it done. They lose 6-1 last night against Vegas. They lost 6-1 against L.A. earlier this week. Not great last night. And, you know, UC Soros was back in net last night. Tanner Jeannot didn't play. His wife was having a child, so he had to sprint from the rink at Las Vegas to the plane and try to get back in time. And right now, I mean, there's a lot that they've got to clean up, but my diagnosis is pretty short and simple right now. They're running out of defensemen, and it's a problem. I mean, they've got Mark Borowiecki that's out. He came back in for one game, and now he's week to week again with an upper body injury. Dante Fabro's out. You know, Matt Benning obviously has been out. I mean, their defense core is limited at the moment. And I know Roman Josi and Ekholm are still out there, so it's got to be better than 6-1. And there's a lot of puck mistakes that they're making, not just defensively with your defensemen, but, I mean, go watch the first two or three goals last night. It's just turnover after turnover left and right. But that's the problem right now. Their defense core is not good at the moment.
And Lozon took one in the knee
blocking
a shot that didn't look too great.
No.
Well, what did Todd Richards say yesterday? He's like, you know, the first 10 minutes going to be key. And that's about a minute in the game.
They were key.
About a minute in the game, boom, make the mistake, you're down. And look, Vegas, we talked about the situation going into the game. They very well knew the situation going into the game. Vegas, that was a desperation game they had to have. So I'm not surprised that they played how they did and that they were as intense as they were and all that stuff. But, yeah, you got to match it, especially when you're coming off a 6-1 loss. You can't take another 6-1 loss.
No. So you'll be
but
back.
You did.
Yeah, you did. You'll be back at home tomorrow Sunday against Philadelphia. I mean, these you're talking about two games coming up, Philadelphia, and I think it's Ottawa, the next one after that. You got to win those two games. Like, I know you're depleted right now, but you need to win. 4 out of 4 points is what my expectation is.
Yep, have to do it. And those teams have, they can just play free, and we see that happen too, but – You can't have the okay, this team really needed to win. They're a really good team that's desperate to win, and then also, but this team doesn't they're playing free now. You gotta beat the bad teams. Especially after that trip. That goal differential you talk about, which I do look at a lot.
Taking a hit.
Yeah, taking quite a hit this week. A quick -10 on that.
This is a good example of why that stat's not perfect either. There's two games where you've lost 10 in the goal differential.
But they were cheeks games.
They were.
So get some cheeks marks on your goal differential ledger.
Yes, shout out to the National Hockey League for not having their standings page updated. So I'm going to ESPN to actually look at the standings now, because Dallas wins last night in a shootout against Carolina. So you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, they're taking on Carolina. So maybe that be some 2 points that they don't grab. They went in a shootout last night. So now Dallas is 3 points behind the Nashville Predators, and they have two games in hand. So we're back in the situation with the Stars where they're right there on your heels. Obviously, with Vegas winning last night, they're only 4 points back now. Now, you do have two games in hand on them, so it's kind of the opposite situation, but it's going to be tight coming down the stretch. This is not a race that I think is just going to go away anytime soon for the Predators at this point.
Yeah, and it's the same thing where directly ahead of you could also be, and that's in play too. I mean, everything's in play.
Yeah.
Other than the division. I mean, you're still, granted, you're 2 points behind the Wild and they have three games in hand, but that's not insurmountable by any means. The Stars are back in there. They won't go away. They've won three in a row now. So, right now the cutoff is, essentially, well, the Stars would be in today. So, granted, they have four games in hand out of Vegas. So right now the Stars would be the second wild card. But Vegas right there, and you do watch Vegas last night, and you're like that team should be in the playoffs.
They're a good team.
For crying out loud. I mean, they've got a lot of good players.
Well, and there's, I think, a desperation level for them last night. Their power play looked good. The Predators were really sloppy with the puck. And look, it's difficult, I guess, to really pin anything on goaltending at this point, because I just thought they were really sloppy last night. And, I mean, the first goal of the game is a redirection from the high slot that just a seeing eye puck that gets through your five hole there. But this is now five out of six games where Saros has given up three or more. And, again, you can go through the film, and maybe throughout those six games there's two or three that are on him. But the fact is it's five out of six games where you're giving up three or more.
Yeah. I think it's more about what's in front of him, but also, like, if you're going to do big things, he probably needs to save your bacon a little bit more than he has been lately.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too, where you're looking at the stretch coming up here. We've talked about this. If they're going to be at their best, they've got to defend, and part of that is taking care of the puck. Like, this is a good league. You're going to give up some chances by yourself. Like, you can't just serve up chances on a silver platter. Like, that second goal Vegas had last night, I don't know what the Predators were doing. Like, nobody picked up the right guy coming in the zone. They had, like, three looks at it before they finally had, like, this turnaround fadeaway shot that Roy found that they went in the back of the net. But they just looked lost out there. And, maybe some of that is you've got new partners that you're playing with every night because everybody's getting hurt right now on the defensive side of the puck. But not good. Not a good stretch from the Predators. And, scary moment last night in the game, too, with Howden out there for Vegas. Hopefully he's going to be okay. It looks like, by all indications, he's stable. So that's good.
Yeah, he raised his hand as he left and stuff like that. But that was scary. And as Chase McCabe tweeted, who was at the game, Chase and Ricky Merritt at the game. When it's that fast, like, boom, instantly scream, like, get in the stretch out there, you're like, wow.
Well, Forsberg pulled up immediately. He was just like, yeah, nope, get out of here.
Yeah. But, yeah, hopefully that's the news continues to be good on that front.
In other news, another assist for Roman Josi last night, another goal for Philip Forsberg last night, which is important in its own right, 36th goal of the year for Forsberg. But it also means that I have drawn even with Joe Rexroad in Preds Pick to Click. I have been on absolute heater in this competition as of late.
And so last night he scored, I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Did I have Forsberg or did I have Duchesne? So you had Forsberg. Dang it.
Well, Tanner Jeannot is having a baby, so
yeah, it was hard to see that one coming. Yeah.
Yeah, we should give you some kind of a, like a baby credit for that. Yeah. So you're even, man.
Yeah. The competition is the listeners at 16, Rexroad and Robbie now at 15, Michelle at 10.
Wow. All right, well, get serious now. I mean, we're coming down the home stretch.
I mean, I've hit like four or five in a row. This is big stuff.
Yeah, and even like when you go off the beaten path, you're hitting it. That's bothersome.
Which means I probably bought myself a nice offer for the rest of the regular season coming up.
Let's hope. You got 17 games left?
Yeah, it's getting down to crunch time.
Has it really been five in a row?
I don't know if it's been five. I think it may be four.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Robbie has gotten like every single one lately.
If only I would have translated this to the FanDuel Sportsbook. Could be a really good time for me as of late.
Why don't you start doing that?
Especially the Tomasino one the other day.
Maybe, like, maybe at this point, start doing that.
I haven't checked and seen like every night what the odds are for Philip Forsberg to score a goal, but they've got to be pretty good, right? I mean, it's like, okay, Philip Forsberg to score is minus 108.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Philip Tomasino score, maybe plus 350.
Yeah, when you have the impulse of one of those guys,
yeah,
or you have to pick them, go to the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Maybe that's what we should do. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Row, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Officer Watson from Clarksville texting in many gifts on the text line, describing the Predators right now, and maybe one for Ben Harper as well. If only I could translate the gifts to the visual aids that we have here. Maybe it's something we can do. We can figure out.
I got to check this out now during the break.
Coming up next, we'll stay on the Predators. Roman Josi having another wonderful year. Another assist last night for Roman Josi. Could he find himself in league MVP talks? That's being thrown out there right now. We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And that will do it. Predators win the first game on the road trip and drop the next two, giving up six goals each of these last two games. 6-1 is the final.
Roman, at this point in the season, I know they're all important too, but how you go about correcting something like that? You guys have been through stuff like this before, but how do you view it at this juncture of the season? How do you deal with things when they're not going the way that you want them to at this point?
Well, I think we got to be honest with ourselves. I mean, it just hasn't been good enough the last couple of games, and they're huge games. LA is right there with us. Vegas is right behind us. We knew it was going to be a big game, and two huge points, and we came out flat. We came out flat in LA, and that just can't happen. So I think we gotta be honest with ourselves. Look at things we can do better, and just get better going forward.
That was Predators captain Roman Josi after the game last night against Vegas. Saying the Preds have come out flat the last couple of games. Got to correct that as they move forward. Back home coming up on Sunday against the Philadelphia Flyers. Puck drop at 5 o'clock on Sunday. Pre-game at 4 o'clock. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Just somebody that I don't know that has come out flat all season long has been Roman Josi, Predators captain. Another assist last night, which, by the way, power play goal for the Predators last night. His ability to be like literally facing the other direction and enter the zone on that play and then get the puck to Philip Forsberg is just absurd.
I mean, that whole play was absurd.
It just is what it is. He's just on a different level right now. So that puts him at 79 points in 63 games, 18 goals, 61 assists. He's already set career highs in points and goals and assists and all these things. And they were having discussions yesterday on the NHL Network about not only where he stands in the Norris Trophy race, but could Roman Josi also be a potential Hart Trophy candidate, the Hart Trophy in the NHL for the league MVP. And traditionally that goes to guys like Connor McDavid or Sidney Crosby or Alex Ovechkin, you know, maybe Austin Matthews in the conversation as well. Very rarely is a defenseman in that conversation, and very rarely does a defenseman put up numbers that give himself, I think, a legit chance to win that competition. Let me start by saying this. I don't think Roman Josi is going to win the Hart Trophy, but I absolutely believe that he deserves consideration because part of what that trophy is supposed to take into account is value to your team. And it's pretty interesting to think about where this team would be without Roman Josi. What do you think of the Norris Trophy / Hart Trophy race? And when you start talking Hart Trophy, do you think that Roman Josi has a legit shot when you look around the league with numbers like McDavid and Matthews and all these different guys that are having really good years? He does have the most points in the entire National Hockey League in the month of March. I will point that out.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I think the Preds would have to be in a better place. Look, I think with any award, like you got 17 games left, like his Norris chances are way better if the Preds finish second than if they finish in the second wild card spot. That's just how it is. You know, what does it translate to? I mean, there's a few things here, too. there's no question. I mean, Josi deserves any kind of accolade you could throw at him right now, but the Preds also have had two forwards having the absolute, like the two best forward seasons a team's had.
Yep.
I mean, if you compare Roman Josi right now and Hart discussion to UC Saros a year ago, I think Saros had a better case then because they didn't have any forwards having huge seasons. I mean, sure. he dragged them to the playoffs, and this team is not just being dragged by Josi. Not to diminish anything he's done, but I just think there's a lot of factors that are going to, you know, are going to hurt him there. I think the Norris race is just going to be really interesting. Again, the triple digit is probably mandated. It's probably mandatory for him to have a chance, and maybe even Cale Makar, you know, slow down and all that stuff. I mean, the Avs are going to end up with the one seed in the West, that's for sure. They're one of the favorites to win the cup, and he's ridiculous. But then again, so is Roman Josi. Let's do highlight. You know, it's like the recruits put together the little highlight tapes. You know,
yeah.
When they, you know, let's put them side by side. It'd be pretty good for both of them.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Norris Trophy too many times I think has turned into basically an offensive defenseman award, which I hate. Now, having said that, if that's going to be the case this year, I mean, you should probably like your chances if you're Roman Josi at this point. But, I mean, when you dig in there, Yossi's really good defensively as well. But sometimes, like, offensive numbers, I think, do tell a lot of the story. I want you to listen to the guys in the entire National Hockey League who are ahead of Roman Josi in scoring right now. Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Jonathan Huberdeau, Johnny Gaudreau, Austin Matthews, Kyle Connor. That's it. Those are the only guys in front of him. He's seventh in the league right now in scoring, which, you know, having a Nashville Predator in the top 10 in the NHL in scoring is something that we've not seen very often. I can't even remember if Korea was top 10 when he finished with 85 points. Probably wasn't. But he's seventh in the entire NHL right now in scoring as a defenseman.
Yeah, what's the
one
record?
One point behind Matthews and Connor.
That does. I'd love to know. Like, what's the highest finish a Nashville Predator's ever had?
It's got to be Korea. I just don't know what he was that year.
I'm gonna find it.
You go find it out. 0506.
0506. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
But right around the lockout.
But I mean, sometimes that kind of highlights what he's doing right now. I mean, he's seventh in the league in scoring, and guys like Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid are the ones in front of me. He's 1 point behind Austin Matthews right now. And Austin Matthews has scored like 46 goals this year.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
It's ridiculous. Korea, by the way, was 22nd.
Yeah. With 85 points, which is absurd.
Yeah. So, can you guess who led the league that year with 125 points?
Was it Thornton?
Well done.
Yeah.
Right ahead of Jaromir Jagr.
He was really good that year.
Ovechkin third, Crosby sixth. Ah, the good old days. That's the thing. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can look at Josi, and that's an absurd stat. And obviously, just the pace he's on, the importance he makes for this team, or the importance he has for this team. I was asked, this is a little bit different, but it's an interesting question, for my mailbag this week, which defender is the best defender in Nashville? Josi, Simmons, Zimmerman.
I mean, that's a good question. Honestly, right now, I don't really think it's all that close. I think it's Josi.
But see, I didn't say that because if you say who's the best defender, then I'm not really worried about offense. You know what I mean?
Sure. He's a pretty good defender.
Well, he is. Well, he is. I mean, he's good at everything. But like you said, I mean, we're not going on D-zone analytics or physicality when we're talking about the Norris. We're talking about offense,
you
know. So I went with Zimmerman. But anyway, I mean, you know, like Josi.
Great hair, too.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Well, I mean, Zimmerman and Josi.
All hair team.
Yeah, no. I mean, Simmons, great choice, too.
Yeah.
But purely as a defender, if you took away what Roman Josi does in triggering offense – strictly Roman Josi in the defensive zone. What is he? He's good. He's really good.
Pretty good. Simmons is pretty good. Zimmerman's pretty good. I mean, Zimmerman's, what's he, two-time defender of the year in the MLS?
Exactly. Yeah, back-to-back defender of the year. Yeah.
Wow, that's a good question.
It is a good question. But, and that's what I said. I was just the offense part of it in hockey kind of makes that tough. You know, it's tough to answer because it's not like Jeffrey Simmons. Although Jeffrey Simmons should get some handoffs at the goal line, I would say. But he doesn't, you know.
Move aside, yet. Derrick Henry.
Well, or at least make him the fullback sometimes.
I agree.
But just as an all-around player, I mean, I mean, last year, late, I really thought, I was like, you know what? Actually, the heart for Saros is actually, like, worth talking about here, you know? Yeah. I mean, the thing is, Yossi's having this year, those two forwards are having this year, but they all are also tied together. I mean, he's been involved in a lot of their success, too.
Well, the thing that I think is bringing him over the top, like, he's obviously, he's always been really good offensively. And I'm not saying it's as simple as this, but the thing that has really, I think, played a huge part in springboarding his numbers this year is the power play. I mean, he's got 31 points on the power play this year, and we've talked about this a lot. I mean, the power play for the last 5-6 years, with maybe one exception, hadn't been very good for the Predators. And now this is as good, and I don't even know statistically if this matches up, although it's got to be close. This is as good as I can remember the Predators' power play being in a long time. Just execution, like the way that they really on a nightly basis. Sometimes the power play is the only reason they're in the game. Like the Anaheim game this week, they weren't very good 5-on-5. They were exceptional in the power play, and that can be a huge difference for you. But that's a, you know, 31 points on the power play. That's a lot of points on the power play for Yossi this year.
Yeah, and again, all of them.
Yeah.
Those three on that first unit, I mean, all of them have benefited greatly.
Duchesne's got 14 goals on the power play.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
The Preds had like 14 goals as a team in the power play over like 5 years.
Yes, so. They did. And Tolman had scored like five of them last year.
Yeah, seven different coaches who tried to take over the power play.
Yeah. I mean, it's been consistent from start to finish this year how good they've been in that area. Look, I don't think Roman Yossi is going to win the Hart Trophy. I think it's probably something that he should at least be in the discussion for. I do feel like he's starting to pick up momentum Norris Trophy-wise. And a lot of times, right or not, when you start to pick up momentum this time of the year, that makes the difference because this time of the year is when people start to vote on the Norris Trophy. So I'm not saying that he's going to win it. I think he probably should when you look at the numbers. But it feels like not even just here, but league-wide, Yossi's starting to turn some heads and pick up momentum.
Well, and no voters should have their minds made up right now.
No.
You know, waiting.
I mean, you should wait till the last day of the season.
Yeah. Like Colorado is going to, you know, they're going to finish first. They're going to get the one seed. But, I mean, the Preds right now could be second in their division and out of the playoffs. I mean, that's still on the table for them.
Sure.
You know, you go 12-2 in the hole, two straight games. And, again, you start looking at that side of things again, like, wow. Imagine all this stuff that happened and this team doesn't make the playoffs.
That would be something.
That'd be something.
Yes, it would.
In Nashville, Tennessee.
That would be quite something. We'll continue the conversation, take more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. NCAA tournament action last night. We'll get Rex Rhodes' thoughts on, unfortunately, a Duke Blue Devils win. Are they going to win the whole freaking thing?
If you shoot 71% and a half against Texas Tech, you might be about to win the whole thing.
Oh, boy. We'll get to that coming up next. Let me tell you about my friends at the Nashville Predators. Season tickets for the Preds 2022-23 season are on sale now. Full half and quarter season plans are available. You can join the Loyal Legion today and receive the best seat locations, priority access to 2022 Stanley Cup playoff tickets, and as a season ticket citizen, your tickets for round one of the playoffs will be up to 20% lower than your regular season price, and round two will be the same as your regular season price. So that's something you're going to want to take advantage of. Season ticket citizens receive season-long benefits, including concession discounts, Nashville locker room discounts, pre-sales to shows at Bridgestone Arena, savings on Preds Foundation events, and much more. You can learn more at NashvillePredators.com/season tickets. Once again, that's NashvillePredators.com/season tickets.
As the clock ticks, under 2 minutes to go, Gillespie for three. It's good! Colin Gillespie! Villanova by 9.
Big night for the real Wildcats last night. They get it done in the NCAA tournament.
Fake Wildcats.
63-55, Villanova wins against Michigan last night. Houston with a 72-60 win against one-seed Arizona. Two one-seeds going down last night. Arizona falls. Gonzaga falls 74-68 to Arkansas, so the SEC remains alive. And Duke wins 78-73 against the Texas Tech Red Raiders.
You see these headphones right here, these broken headphones?
I do.
Every time that it runs on our station, this is new Vanderbilt coach Jerry Stackhouse, I'm going to smash. I'm gonna smash a pair of headphones just like this. I'm gonna do this to every. I just want. I don't know who can do this. I don't know who can change this. I need someone to change this. I'm gonna lose it on this.
I kind of hope we keep it now.
It's funny now because every time the commercial plays, I'm waiting for a text if you guys are virtual. Or when we're in studio, I just look at Robbie, and I can just see your blood boiling. You're like, ugh.
You know, I, and then go back to, like, when he recorded that. Like, that's why you never have someone say, like, just say you're Vanderbilt coach Jerry Stackhouse.
Yeah. Well, right? I would imagine they didn't ask him to say new Vanderbilt head coach. He probably just said it.
He just said it, yeah. Okay. Well, then whoever had him record it, say, hey, you know what, can we cut this again? Coach, and we'll just say, hey, this is Vanderbilt coach Jerry Sager. Then that's evergreen. I mean, it's fine.
All you got to do is go in there and edit out the new. Just I can find this thing and just go edit out the new.
That's
mind blown. Let's have Joe try to edit
blown.
It.
Yeah. Mind blown.
Let's have Joe try to edit it.
Like, could awesome. You actually just do that?
Yeah, I just don't know how to find it. See, Listen, I know how to do some things very well. Other things, there's a lot of buttons back here, and I don't want to, you know.
Let's call Chase McCabe.
Keep us
right
on
now.
Air.
What time is it for Chase McCabe? It's 4:30 in Vegas. He's probably still
he's
up.
Probably has
he
not
should
gone
be
to sleep
still
yet.
Up. He should be still
McCabe
up.
McCabe and Ricky are at, you know, some wild roulette table right now with James Bond and a lot of supermodels, I'm sure.
Chase is in the pond out there.
Yeah.
The fountain. I mean. Hey, Chase, what are you doing? Look like Alex Ovechkin out here after you won the cup.
By the way, those guys, and I finally, like, they seriously keep sending the same tweets. Like, hey, guys, I know you're both at the hockey game. Well, how about one of you tweets about it? Hey, look, the weatherman, he used to be in Nashville. Oh, here's a tweet of him on the screen. Hey, and now I'm going to tweet one of him on the screen, too. Hey, great. How about one of you tweet the one thing, okay? Take shots at Chase when it's 4:30 and he's in Vegas. That's a smart move.
That's right.
Yeah,
I got a texter that says, Robbie and Joe, don't sleep on my Hogs. Come on. Ain't nobody sleeping on the Hogs here. Big win yesterday for Arkansas.
Man.
Eric Musselman, I bet that shirt came off pretty quickly after the game was over.
I mean, he was, you know, a lot of coaches would get mad at a player for going dunking with like a second left. You know, like he was like, yes, hell yeah, put it down. I mean, he was all about it, man.
He was flexing.
Oh, yeah. That was impressive. I mean, look, Gonzaga, I think, kind of looked vulnerable, really three games out of three.
Yep.
That Arkansas's defense, the hands, the deflections and the strips, and they were so good. And, man, that's impressive. I tell you what, the SEC needed that. That's for sure. I mean, the SEC, because I was like, well, the SEC is going to be over. You got one team in the Sweet 16, and you're going to be over in the Elite Eight. And so Arkansas saves the bacon for the SEC with Woo Pig Suey.
Is that their chant? The Woo Pig.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was the first time I'd ever heard it in Tampa. Deal.
Welcome to the South.
When I saw them play Texas, when I saw them lose to Texas A&M 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there thinking, what the heck? People are like, whipping their hands around.
They're calling the Hogs.
And when I was watching the game last night, in my head, I'm like, what is it? Whoopi or... Okay, so there we go.
Calling the Hogs.
Woo Pig. Woo Pig Suey.
You may be the best thing in college sports.
It's pretty
a little
great.
Scary. A
little bit.
Especially when, as Tim Corbin said last year, when you know when you're in Arkansas and there's a grown man with a pig mask on, that you're in a different place. I believe is the term that Tim Corbin used. You know, different spot out here.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, that's, you know, Kentucky is, you know, BBN. I mean, that's the biggest, most rabid fan base. But Arkansas is number two in the SEC, right?
Basketball-wise,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm talking about hoops. I mean, Arkansas, the 40 minutes of hell, I mean, they used to have some great teams and incredible atmospheres. And you got to be impressed with what Musselman's done. I mean, he is a heck of a coach. He – is a very intense person, but it's working out for him. JD Notte last night, 21 points. Now, he took 29 freaking shots to get there.
He did.
He was 9 for 29, 2 for 12 from 3.
Just kept pulling. So,
like, if you showed me those numbers, just that line, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's not going to go well for them. But 9 buckets is still 9 buckets. And Jalen Williams still out there taking every charge you can take. Hey, great win for them. This brings up the whole Gonzaga thing again, which is tiresome. Mike Kernan last night at Twitter, we went back and forth a little bit. The whole like, oh, they can't win because of their conference and all this stuff. And it's like, I mean, they've been to the title game two of the last four tournaments. They always get to the second weekend. They play enough tough teams. It's hard to win. Again, the Big Ten with all those teams, and they play the gauntlet every day. They beat each other, and they're great, top 10 class, all that stuff. Their last championship was the year 2000.
Yeah.
So it's hard to win. I mean, at some point, Gonzaga will break through. I mean, when you have, like, they got the possible number one overall pick, the other pros on their team every year. You know, they just, I think one thing that they don't do sometimes enough is I don't think they're tough enough defensively. And in this case, again, I think Arkansas was tougher than them.
Well, their game plan when they're down in games is pretty obvious. They did this against Memphis, and they did it yesterday too. They just throw the ball to Drew Timmy inside. They're like, okay, you go get us a bucket. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Maybe take a couple threes yesterday. I mean, they were feeding Drew Timmy a lot late in the second half.
Yeah, and he had one where I thought he was about to cut it to, a point or two, and yep. He got a great block from behind. I mean, Arkansas was just quick.
Which, when you have a stash like that, I mean, I guess I don't blame you throwing the ball at that guy, but they did it every time.
Yeah. Great stash. Unfortunately, we won't get to hear him swear on camera anymore the rest of the tournament.
We will not.
And then, you know, Villanova beating Michigan. I don't know what Tennessee fans thought watching that game, but Villanova's a good team. Villanova beat Tennessee's breaks off in the third game. Tennessee could have beat Villanova last night. I mean, I hate to say it, Vols fans, but Tennessee could have beat Villanova last night. They're a good, tough team. They're not great. I mean, Michigan, Hunter Dickinson, who's talked a lot of trash this tournament, I mean, that guy missed 5-6 layups that if he makes 3-4 of them, it might be a different outcome. Great player, but Michigan, you know, for as clutch as they were against Tennessee, you know, Dickinson and Brooks missed so many shots that you would expect them to make in this game. So Tennessee has to watch that game and say, man, could have beat Villanova. And then Houston, but Houston might be the best team right now in the tournament. Houston just handled Arizona. And a lot of people thought Arizona was the best team. I mean, Houston just handled them. Houston is good. Houston as a 5 seed is an absolute sham. They're not a 5 seed.
American Athletic Conference.
Well, and the thing is, Memphis beat them twice in the regular season.
Yep.
Which I can't totally understand, especially because if you watch the championship game, Houston just dominated Memphis, and Memphis was playing its best ball then. Houston might win this sucker. And then, oh, by the way, what's his name? Won another game, Coach K. Coach Kurzizewski?
Yeah, yeah. What do we call him?
Yeah.
Very good game, guys.
I got to work on my Coach K.
Guys, we better mentally prepare ourselves right now for them to win it because, you know, just – Coach K's final send-off. Oh, it's never going to end.
I said this yesterday. If they win, I will never watch college basketball again because the tournament's rigged. I'm not doing it.
Tell you what. Okay, well, now, I don't know. I'm sure there's some Texas Tech fans crying about the refs because everybody cries. Everybody thinks Duke gets calls. I was in a room with some Michigan State fans crying about calls. I'm like, there's not one call that had anything to do with Michigan State losing. Duke made great shots. Yesterday?
What was the foul count?
I have no idea. Yeah, I'm sure that whatever it is. Let's count up the fouls. Let's count up the free throws. Last night, Duke was incredible. Like the shots they made late. I mean, you have to tip your cap to them. I hear you on all of it. I mean, Coach K, and it's going to be nauseating if it keeps happening. But those kids were unbelievable. 71% in the second half against Texas Tech. That is the best defensive team in the country. And they looked exactly like it for a lot of the game. And all of a sudden, doesn't matter. Banchero, Roach,
Free throw count.
Whoever.
Free throw count was 17-9 in favor of Duke.
Oh,
they
boy.
Won by five. You tell me.
Oh, my goodness. You got it. You have cracked the code.
There's a funny Twitter account called No Content College Basketball, and it's just Coach K with one of the refs, like, giggling. And all the comments are like, oh, Texas Tech, they knew it was over when this happened. It's like, okay.
Yeah, Matt Norlander had that tweet, too. He's like, this is when it ended. Because Coach K, like, Coach K made a joke because he got run over. He's like, it's a block
on you. Now you need to send me three calls. Be quiet.
17-9.
It's terrible.
Be quiet.
Yeah.
Everyone be quiet.
That's probably a better Coach K impersonation. But, yeah.
I can see it now. They're going to win.
I tell you what, I think Duke Arkansas could be a great game. I hope so.
I will be. But I like. I'll be calling the Hogs.
I like
game.
Duke. Yeah,
I will be woo pig suing all day long.
A lot.
Me
of this,
too.
This country is. There's going to be more hog calls in this country than you've seen since like 1863. So, and then also, I think Houston might beat the crap out of Villanova.
You going to do call your shot? Call your shot Friday.
I'll wait.
Okay.
That might be one.
All right. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. More thoughts to get to on the NCAA tournament and a contract extension for a Tennessee coach as well. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
If Joe Rexrode will allow it, and I am not assuming that he will, but if Joe Rexrode will allow it, I will hop in the car with him and go to the Rick Barnes question, because nobody in the Knoxville media is going to have the cojones to ask a question about, so Danny White, why did you decide to extend him less than a week after he absolutely choked all over himself again in the NCAA tournament? But somebody needs to ask that question. So if Joe is willing to have me on the Athletics gas dime, go to the Knoxville press conference, I will do that.
That was Jared Stillman on his show saying that if Joe Rexrode is willing, if Joe Rexrode is able, he will join him at the Rick Barnes press conference.
What press conference?
I don't think there's going to be one, dummy.
Hey, dumbass, there has to be a press conference for us to go to a press conference.
Yeah.
So I guess
for starters, if you missed it, Rick Barnes was given a contract extension by the University of Tennessee through the 2026-27 season. So there you go.
So this explains the text line from, as we come in to say, the text line is like just a complete, it's like a child scribbling and then peeing on the paper. Like, I mean, people got mad at Jared apparently about, so what did he go all the way to fire Rick Barnes?
I don't know.
Did he go to fire Rick Barnes? I mean, look, the extension of the Rick Barnes extension is a complete formality. I mean, it's a recruiting thing. Like, if you're not firing him, then the contract adds a year on the end, which is so you can tell recruits, I'm going to be here your whole time, even though you may not be. That's what you tell recruits. And he got $100,000 raise. I mean, for having one of the best seasons in Tennessee basketball history, winning the SEC tournament title. And, yeah, coming up short in the NCAA tournament, like a lot of teams did. Look at the list of teams sitting there now watching it. We know the Rick Barnes history. So that's totally valid. The Rick Barnes history can't be a mistake. There's something to it, of course. Rick Barnes choked all over himself.
Zakai,
you go play center.
Yeah.
You're at point guard. Let's play.
I'd like to see that.
Let's play a box and one, okay? Let's play a box and one, guys.
I'd like to see that, too.
We'll chase around, Caleb Houston, who hasn't hit a shot. Let's play a box and one on him, okay? I mean, we got through all this stuff. Rick Barnes directly, to me, did not choke in that game. It is a continuation of a trend that you can't ignore. Also, you're a Tennessee fan. Would you like to see Rick Barnes on the hot seat? Should Rick Barnes be fired?
No.
Any? Do you have any sort of wish that he'd move on so that Tennessee basketball can have better success in March?
No, look, I mean, would I like to see him do better in the NCAA tournament? Yeah, obviously. I also have watched Tennessee basketball my entire life, and I know that this is the best that it's been, and I will include Bruce Pearl in that. This is the best. They just won a tournament championship for the first time since 1979. I wasn't born since until 1992. Like, it's been a long time since
the 90s babies.
Yeah. It's been a long time since they've done anything really of consequence in the postseason. So, no, I'm cool with it. I mean, is he ever going to win a national title at Tennessee? Probably not, would be my guess. But, I mean, how that conversation was not even – you didn't even think about that this time 10 years ago. Maybe with Bruce Pearl you started to think about it. But really, outside of Bruce Pearl and now Rick Barnes, Tennessee basketball the last 35, 40 years has not been good. So I have no problem with the contract extension. Now, I know there are some Tennessee fans that totally disagree with that, and they think that Rick Barnes has gotten this thing to a certain level, which is great, and now you have a chance to build on it and maybe be a national power. My guess, my answer to that would be, well, who are you getting? Like, who's coming in after Rick Barnes that's going to take this thing to the next level?
Well, I think
that, Bruce.
What's that?
Go get Bruce. Get Bruce
back,
away.
Bring Bruce back in. Yeah. I do think that Rick Barnes has put this program in a place where it's a more appealing job now. So, and you know, if Rick Barnes,
Mike
White. There you go. Just keep moving all through the SEC East.
And no, you can't have Cal. So
I don't want him.
No, I mean, I think he'd be a good associate head coach for Rick.
I do too.
I think he'd really be lively on the
head
bench.
Coach in March. We're just not looking at the last 2 years here.
The last 10.
10 years. No, but I do think that Rick, that this job, especially like if they ever did actually have a breakthrough, you know, before he goes, which I think he's going to keep pushing to try to get one, and, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if he can ever get it. But if he can ever get that, it makes it an even more appealing job. But, I mean, you talk about, you know, all the things that you look at for what makes a good job, it's pretty strong. You know, they got a lot going for them. So, I mean, it doesn't make sense to me that Tennessee basketball was as bad as it was over those years. Obviously, it's still the absolute flagship best women's basketball program ever. And you know, football, when you got a football, you know, program and football revenue like that, it helps all your other sports. So I don't even really understand why Tennessee basketball has been this bad and why Rick Barnes is so, because of he's so different from the past, that's part of like the argument for him. But I think it should be good moving forward, even after he's done. Should be.
Danny White saying yesterday, quote, having played and coached the game, basketball has a special place in my heart. To that end, I can't overstate how fortunate we are to have Rick Barnes leading our program. I'm unbelievably excited about our bright future as we chase future championships on the hardwood. As you can imagine, that quote had some Tennessee fans going about chasing future championships on the hardwood. They did just win a championship on the hardwood. I'd like to point that out.
They did. I mean, I think that there's a lot less anger toward Rick Barnes than there was a year ago. I sense that. Because a year ago it was a very frustrating season with a lot of talent, but a frustrating season for a team that didn't quite fit together and then just a real nasty flame out right away. This year was a great season. The SEC tournament title and then, you know, second round loss to, you know, it's a game that they absolutely should have won, but it's different. So I feel like there's a little bit better feeling. But, look, I don't know. Next year, I don't know what they're going to be. If Kennedy Chandler goes, I mean, the collective at Tennessee that is helping with some football recruiting and such at this point.
Buzzword, collective.
The collective, yes. Very good collective.
Sounds like a movie.
In Knoxville.
Yeah.
The collective. That could be a good movie. Yeah, I would say, huh? Might want to, you know, give a call to Kenny Chandler's family and say, hey, how much money to stay next year? Got some endorsement possibilities for you. But he may have his mind made up, and I think the way he played lately, that's first-round pick type stuff.
I got a texter that says, you mean you didn't have any faith in Donnie Tindall? Can't say that again.
You know, I mean, Konzo Martin is a good coach, but following Bruce Pearl is tough. And look, I mean, it didn't end up going well for him at Missouri. I mean, I used to think Kevin O'Neill was a really good coach. Did not go well in Knoxville. Actually, didn't go well for most of his head coaching career. But he's the most hilarious foul-mouthed head coach in the history of college basketball. So you got to give him his props for that. Who else have they had? I mean, Jerry Green was a good – I mean, they had good teams then. They had some good teams. They've had some success. Rick Barnes has – I mean, by every measure of a program, it's really good. And in some ways, compared to Bruce Pearl, it's way better. And if you don't believe me, ask anyone who was there when Bruce Pearl was there and is there now with Rick Barnes. They'll almost come to tears telling you the difference in a lot of ways about Bruce Pearl versus Rick Barnes. But March success, it's still what defines a program. And so I understand anybody who is frustrated and skeptical that it's ever going to happen with him. It's fair.
Josh in Kentucky texting in says, UT fans talking bad about Cal shows their basketball knowledge, or should I say lack thereof? I mean, Cal would literally make you a national title contender overnight, and you're just like, nah, we're good. This comes from Josh from Kentucky. So what are they now?
This year they're teams that went out in the first, or actually no, Kentucky went out earlier to St. Peter's, and Cal's 7-10 against Rick Barnes. I mean, I don't know.
But you literally just said what defines a program is postseason success.
Right. So when's the last time Cal had
any? Last time he had any success?
Before COVID.
What are we talking about here?
Before COVID. Okay.
No, but your comeback was Rick Barnes versus Cal.
That just won an SEC tournament championship.
Well, right. Does that does matter? Does it not? Do those games are they played? Do they count? Or is it like little kids? Like, we're not going to keep score. Everyone like T-ball. Okay, everybody, you just go to first base, and now you go to second base. I had to coach some of those games. I mean, they count. It counts, right? Does it matter? Is it anything? Yes.
It counts.
I mean, look, Cal has not won a title in 10 years. He's had the most talent in that time, I would say, of any coach. I mean, Krzyzewski right there with him. And Self. Those three.
Well, he's about to win another one this year. Coach K.
Yeah. Probably. That'd be six.
No, the Peacocks are going to win.
That'd be six.
Maybe so. They're still alive.
Cal, that'd be six for K. Cal has one.
But Coach, he's the only one with that many. He's like Brady. And then Cal's like Rodgers. Yeah. You always have great teams, but you can only get it done once.
Brady.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. Cal is like Rodgers. Yeah. Both very annoying. No, actually, I like Cal. I do.
You don't like Rodgers?
Yeah.
All three of them, they're buddies. Rex, Rogers, and Cal.
Yeah. I got a texter that says, Tennessee is the flagship of women's basketball. Are you forgetting a little school in Storrs, Connecticut?
Yeah, Tennessee's still number one. The winningest, the only team, the only program that's been to the tournament every single time. Connecticut's been obviously much better in recent years. It's very close. It's neck and neck. But, yes, I would still say Tennessee.
I agree. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line. We can argue about that, too. WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans. It is mock draft season, and one of the Athletic has a very interesting pick for the Titans. We'll get into that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.